Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara. I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hey, hi there. Hi.
Hello, hello. It is a cold evening.
Cold.
It's kind of a cold and a little sleepy, but
who's sleepy? Good. You're sleepy?
Well, you know, it's like this winter stuff. It's like I get home from work and within like 20 minutes, it's dark. And then we have dinner and it's like dark for hours and like we're all just like either watching a show or scrolling on our phones.
Trying to warm up.
Yeah, right. Try to stay warm and like cozy. It's like
your body relaxes from the day.
Yeah. Right. I know. Yeah. And in the summer and like the sunny months, I'm like, all right, like finish dinner. I've got like 2-3 hours of sunlight to like go outside and have a fire or go down to the shop. But it's like when it's so cold and dark, it's just body shuts down early in the evening.
Let's wake it back up. Let's get it.
I like it. All right. What do you got for us?
Loose cannon. That's it.
Loose cannon. All right.
Do you know what the term loose cannon comes from?
Loose cannon. I do not.
Take a guess. Think about the term and what it might represent.
You know, maybe like someone who like misfires a cannon and like, you know, in an army. Mm. Like you have like a loose cannon, someone who goes off when they're not supposed to. That's what a loose cannon is.
Right? Yeah, right, right. The term is someone who's impulsive and rash and kind of uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just, for some reason I heard it and then I saw the definition. I never put two and two together. A loose cannon comes from the naval term loose cannon.
Right.
Because all the cannons are on tracks and they're all roped down.
Oh, yeah.
So if you fire a cannon and it gets loose, it's dangerous.
Right. Yeah, the kickback, sliding across the deck.
If a cannon is just loose and rolling around, it's this huge, heavy thing that's rolling in the deck. Thousands of pounds.
Right.
And hurting people. Uncontrollable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. And then I got some shitty quotes that are like trying to be inspirational about loose cannons that just... I don't like, and I'm going to give me some now.
Okay.
They called me a loose cannon until I hit the target no one else could see.
Oh, yeah. No.
A loose cannon may be reckless, but it's also fearless.
Yeah, nah.
I'm not a loose cannon. I'm just not interested in aiming where you tell me to. Stupid. So stupid.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, all of those are trying to, like, are, like, cleverly justifying why someone's a loose cannon.
Right,
know?
It's the whole thing, like, I may be a, you know, bitch, but you have to, you know, you have to take me when I'm...
Yeah, right.
Mean
right,
to exactly. Love me when I'm, like, that type of thing. It's like, no, shut up. Don't try to justify your bad behavior.
Yeah, right.
Tell me why I'm a rebel, but
no one else can hit sometimes.
Yeah, right.
Like, no.
Like, stop.
I'll let you explain it more, but I had this, like, kind of lengthy conversation with two of my students today during lunch when it was, like, my lunchtime. They were supposed to be in lunch. They were just in my classroom during lunch. Just about, like, being like a good person, you know, being good people and being like moderate, you know, how like the majority of good people are moderate because they're not like super hot, you know, or passionate one way or the other. Like they're just kind of like, you know, they're happy to be happy and they don't want to like push other people's buttons too much, you know, because that just makes life uncomfortable. And like, but I had this whole conversation about like, you know, just being someone who's kind of an average, because it doesn't, other people don't judge you before they know you, you know, when you're, right, when you're an average person. Like if you're below average or above average, or if you're like stand out, or if, you know, like if you're dressed like a goth, people are going to judge you before they, right, ever meet you, you know, right, they, before they talk to you. So like, you know, but
right, we talked a little bit about that last week. For sure. Right. You want to be, yeah, don't give people a reason to judge you early on.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't have to say everything that comes to your head. Just sit and wait, and then people will discover,
right,
what you are. And it also gives you more time to come up with a thought. You don't just have to pour out whatever comes in your mind. It's not a podcast. You don't have to do what we're doing.
You're right.
We have to continue to talk because that's what it is. But I would, yeah, never do this in normal life. Right. I mean, we're chatting. This is what it would be.
Yeah.
But just to like continually spew out ideas,
right,
you would stop and wait and then have like a sentence or two.
Right.
To add.
Yeah. Yeah, you choose your words wisely. It's
much better way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like, you know, just like I forget how we got into it specifically, but I was talking about how, you know, I'm not a fan of politics because it's so divisive. It just like divides people, and people are angry, and, you know, and like, and everyone who's like, if you're in politics, you have to be one or the other. You can't be both. And if you say you like one group, then then you're judged for all the worst people in that group. And if you say you like the other group, then you're judged by all the worst people in that group.
Right.
You know, it's like, and most people are somewhere in between. Most people aren't like black or white. We're all gray, you know, like everyone has different, right, ideas of what things are. So like, if you say, you know, and we were talking about like, you know, Trump being president and how, like, I'm like, yeah, well, I don't necessarily like Trump the person. Like, I think he seems kind of like an asshole, you know, but like, that doesn't matter. You know, like he is a part of our government that the majority of our country voted him in. Right. So like it or not, like, however you think about that, like, that's who we have to work with. And that's why we have a government that doesn't just have one, you know, dictator. We have a government that is like a split. It's a divide. It's an average of all the people in our country that, like, hopefully everyone will be kind of happy with the solution. If they're not, they wait 4 years and then there's another chance, you know, like, right, that's the beauty of our country, is that there's, well, like this continual change that, and, you know, if it's not exactly what you want, like, it's never going to be exactly what you want. We don't live in one person, yeah, society.
And so I think that must have been where your point comes up. It's like, hey, yeah, don't spill your guts on every,
right,
little thing. There is no reason to, especially stuff like that. And people are so charged up, but everyone's got their reasons for why they're one side or the other.
Right, right.
But that's the problem with modern times, is we feel, or some people feel, a need to, as they say, show your ass.
Right.
Don't show your ass. You don't have to show your ass.
Right.
Like, just keep the cards, because it's not, that's not doing anything. Certain things, big, yeah, things like that, you don't have to. Like, no one cares. You just, right, do what's best. You do what you think's best for your group of people, and that's, yeah, all you can do. And while you're at it, don't get other people to hate you for something you cannot control.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So many, yeah, people, yeah, you see after, you know, right, yeah, after any it's stuff like that. And then to get worked up about politicians is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's they should not get your attention like that. They should not get your time and your energy.
Right.
None of them are good. None of them are good people. Even,
yeah, exactly,
if they, that's, say they, saying, are.
No,
so
none,
don't,
no, yeah, right,
don't give them your time and energy. Do, yeah, like you said, do what you can. If you want to vote, vote. If you don't want to, don't. Like, yeah, it doesn't. Just don't, yeah, don't give up your time and energy to any of that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like we have, it almost corresponds, not really, but if I'm making this as an analogy, a metaphor for other things, like with Instagram, shadow banning people, you know,
yeah,
it's like, okay, well, who am I putting this stuff up there for, right? Of course I want my like network to grow, but really, like, you know, it's the people who are going to comment back and the people who are going to interact with me. So that's like that, the 100 people on Instagram out of my 10,000 followers, there are 100 people who actively will communicate with me. Like, and those are the people that I am showing the stuff for, you know?
Yeah. But
so it's
but then there though is if it is your business,
right.
Yeah. Then you will get more pissed off. Then it does directly involve you.
Right.
You know, then maybe I can see bitching about that.
If you have a certain
amount of income coming off of posts.
Right.
And then all of a sudden for what you think is a silly reason, which usually is.
Yeah, right.
Like exactly. People blocking knives because you think they're weapons. Like,
right. Yeah, I posted like the picture of that, the knife that we did for the challenge, and it got me blocked. And then I took it down and I'm unblocked now or whatever. You know, it's like, now we can show your content to everyone and it will share it and da-da-da.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
It's like, all right, you know, like, the 200 people that are going to like my post anyway have already liked it. So I'm like, okay, I'll take it down. Like, whatever. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of annoying because it's like, I like the catalog that I have there. It's like this, you know, library of images and thoughts and, you know, maker stuff. You know, I like keeping all that. I was thinking that, like, because I always cross post to Facebook, it's also there, you know, and Facebook doesn't block you because it's not pushing out to, like, you know, as much. It's not pushing out to non-followers, people who aren't your friends. So, as it gets all there anyway. So, yeah.
But we had
loose cannons.
Yeah, we got loose cannons, and we're that was really all I had to say about that. And other big things that happened, other than a new present, is the Ravens lost in a terrible game. Now we'll talk about it for about 60 seconds. Don't worry, people, will move on, because I don't want to talk about it much. I talked about it with my buddy Guy, and I talked about it at work yesterday with a couple guys at work that are Ravens fans, and that's about I got to say about that. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's tough when you have a chance to win these games, and then just some bad plays. Couple, we gave the ball away 3 times. There was big drops, obviously, and that cannot happen. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, the hardest part was, like, you know, we turned the ball over 3 times, and we still came in within, you know, 2 points. Like,
it hurt even more, because if we didn't turn them over, we would have
been ahead by 3 touchdowns, or 3 more scores. Yeah, that's exactly. That's the hardest part. It's like, we know we played plenty good enough, and we're plenty good enough to beat them because it's tight. It was a tight game, even with turning over 3 times, you know?
Right.
And that's like, does that make you feel good or bad? Like, I don't know. I guess I'd rather lose like that, rather than being like blown out and be like, damn, they were way better than we were. We thought we were good, but they just beat the mess out of us. You know, like, nah, I'd rather have it close and like implode a little bit. It sucks a little bit more. It makes you feel a little shittier, but at least you didn't get embarrassed. You know, it's like,
right.
Well,
yeah.
Well, we're still a good team. We can still say that we are a good team. We just made our own mistakes that we shouldn't have made. We made more mistakes than they did, which sucks.
Someone
uncharacteristically.
I remember, I think after we won our, in 2012, Ravens won their last Super Bowl, someone said to me, because it was 12 years before that we won the first one.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And they said something to the effect of, if you knew it would be 12 years till you got another Super Bowl, would you watch?
Hmm.
I was like, I don't know. That's hard to, but I think they were saying is that's the reality of it for most teams. And most teams don't even get that.
Yeah.
So the majority of the time, you're just watching for a huge letdown at the end. And it might be another 12 years. And if someone asked me that, maybe I wouldn't watch.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But,
It's like if you know that you're not going to make it to the Super Bowl, then what's the point of watching? Like, I mean, that's like, if you know the outcome of the game, then why watch the game?
Yeah.
Be like,
you're right. And my thought has always been, though, if it hurts to get knocked out, but we still had 2 more games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to beat Kansas City, which they seem to have the refs on their side always. And then you got to win whoever's in the Super Bowl. So it would probably hurt more if we made it all the way to the Super Bowl and lost.
Oh yeah, no, I agree.
So you know, it is what it is, and you just
yeah,
move on with life.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do agree that way. It's like we have been blessed to not have lost a Super Bowl that we've gone to. You know, mm-hmm. we've gone to two and we've won two. I can't imagine how shitty it would feel to lose in the Super Bowl. You get that much, like
right there.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, the drop and the Lamar, the one interception was terrible. Just something went wrong.
Yeah,
that was when I yelled out loud. No,
I know.
It was like, don't not. You know, it's some of those things that just happen. You're like,
yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think I like turned around, and, like threw my hat on the ground.
No. And the fumble. There's a couple two big drops, obviously by Mark. In the middle of the game at the end, and then the one fumble, he let one go, and Lamar let one go, and he threw. It's just. It's tough. Yeah, maybe if we had Zay Flowers, it would have been a little bit different. But
you know, it's like otherwise, like everybody was playing well. Like,
it was good. We had a bunch of good drives, but both those drives were ended, or three of those good drives were ended by turnovers.
Yeah.
And you just can't. Right. Good teams don't. I mean, we're a good team, but, you know.
Yeah.
The best teams, those things, it just, they don't go that way. Things just seem to fall your way, and that's what makes a good team. When things just seem to always go your way, it's because you're playing at a high level.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But, yeah, you know, hopefully Kansas City didn't get beat, because, like I said, they seem to be the new Patriots, where you can't touch, or you can't go near the quarterback. You can't, a flag, all these big third downs that could... I almost think it should be, there should be a review on the call on third downs.
Right. Yeah.
Because there are so many times that nothing pisses me off more than a third down when they make a call. Huge call.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That gives the first down.
Yeah. Right. And you stopped them. It's so hard to stop these great teams. Right, and you make a great stop, and then flag, interference, holding, bullshit. You can call holding anytime you want.
Right, exactly.
So don't start holding with that shit on third down. Mm-hmm. If they make a 17-yard catch and it's a great third down conversion, do not start with the bullshit.
Yeah, right.
There should be some type of review on that.
Right.
Like, if it's any other down, fine. But if it's third or fourth down, it should be an automatic review, like how... all scoring's reviewed now.
Right, yeah.
It should be like, all right, we threw it, so let's just double check, because this is a big consequential thing.
Yeah.
Give it 30 seconds. Don't, you know, just make it quick.
Right, yeah. Because but what do you, like, I guess, you know, who's upset about that? You know, the refs, right? They're the ones who are upset about that, right? Because then you're like questioning them. You know, I always wonder about that. Like, why don't we use...
That's all right. You need to be questioned.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why don't we use like the pitching cameras to just tell us what strikes and balls are?
Well, you know? Yeah, that's a whole different thing,
I guess. But is it really?
But like, football, you couldn't really do the same thing.
Because you have to track everything, right? I'm just saying, but like,
I mean, baseball. They have been trying to do it. It just changes the game.
Yeah, right.
Part like, of it, I'll say part of the fun of baseball is arguing whether it's balls or strikes. Like, you're taking bits away from it.
Right.
And that doesn't hurt as much because there's so many of them.
Right.
I would say maybe do the same thing football does, that if it's a big, huge thing,
right,
then you can do a call. If it's like the ninth inning, maybe all of a sudden everything gets reviewed.
Right.
Because like, hey, do not end this game on a bullshit strike call, because I didn't swing and it's way outside.
Yeah. And you like, just like, yeah, you blink
you,
weird.
You,
and
you, you just like make the call and you said it was outside, but it was obviously a strike or vice versa.
Right. Yeah.
So it should maybe, be ball I think four, it yeah. should just be maybe the majority of the time, make your calls. But when it's in huge situations, there should be.
Right.
All right, now we get some computer help, or we just, in football, let's look at that call.
Right.
All the guys get together, we look at it, and it wasn't really anything.
Yeah, because they have all those reviews now for football, where it's like, after review, we saw that it was a catch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they automatically are looking, like, you know, New York or whatever is looking right away at what's happening. And then they're like... Yeah. Now they're able to actually call in and be like, hey, no, that was wrong. Like,
you got to, like, the big ones, you should review.
Right.
Those third down ones are the worst. I hate that. That's my biggest pet peeve of football is the big plays like that that get turned over by calls and then bad drops.
Yeah.
And turning the ball over. That hurts the most. The plan was right. The chess move was right.
Right.
Everything was perfect.
And that's why it should be. Like, I do agree. That's why maybe it is best to have it be a review, right? Because you do have the refs out there. They're watching. Okay, they see something, right? Because it's their job. Like, of course, if there's a legitimate hold and someone can then, the quarterback can then have extra 2 seconds and throw the ball down the field on third and 20 and get a 25-yard pass, well, of course, because the guy who's going to sack him got held, you know? Yeah. So if someone calls it and then they're like, yeah, so review it, like take that 30 seconds, you look at it, it'll be blatantly obvious, you know? If it's not blatantly obvious, you keep the call. Yeah. But most of the time it is. You're like, oh, look, he didn't actually hold. He tripped and the other guy threw him down. Like, oh, wait, nope, that's not a hold. That's just they tripped over each other. You know, like, or, yep, that was a hold. That's it. Like, yep, the call stands.
Right. Or just give the coaches the availability to challenge more things like that. Because a lot of those things like, oh, well, you can't challenge this call. You can't challenge that call.
Right.
Give everyone an extra challenge or two.
Right.
Say everyone gets, five. more than the timeouts.
Right.
And you can use them for the big things like that. Those big, hey, it's third down. Right. Was that a holding? Was that really pass interference? Let's look at it because I don't think it was.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, so that I think we've passed our allotted football time.
Well, we got into some other things just like, politics about football.
It's a whole lot of bullshit. All the things that make me angry.
This is our podcast about bullshit.
Welcome to Bullshit. That's a great show, by the way.
Bullshit.
Remember that show, Penn and Teller?
No.
Did you see that?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Was that like a live audience show? Is that?
No, it's their it's their show where they would just bring up topics and call out bullshit.
No, really? Like, on each other? Like,
no, on just whatever the general topic was.
Gotcha, okay.
If they thought it was bullshit. Like, whatever, recycling is bullshit. Then they'd talk all about, all this stuff.
Oh, topics that they thought were bullshit.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. It was a great show.
That's funny. I like it. We were mentioning beforehand, there's this... these two guys that are cousins who have a podcast or a video podcast, and they just talk about books and stuff, and it's like some stuff about economics and politics, and it's like, they seem like kind of normal dudes, but they like to read and they like to, and they're like philosophical, so they do that. But somehow the one cousin has like this mind for memorizing monologues or even just words, like the words just stick in his head. Mm-hmm. He has like almost a photographic memory for like words, and especially like from movies, so he knows like every Chris Farley movie monologue scene, every single Jim Carrey, Wayne's World, it's just it's crazy. He did the bit from Joe Dirt with the
fireworks.
The fireworks, the whisker do's, whisker don'ts. He did the whole thing. And his timing is like perfect, just talking about shows. But I was going to recommend it, but I can't remember the name. So I'll see if at some point I'll figure it out and I'll just drop it into the show notes. But it's so funny. It's so cool. Like, it's fascinating seeing him do it because it's, like I said, it's a split screen where the top half is a reel or whatever. The top half is him, like talking into the mic. And then the bottom half of the screen is the clip from the movie, and they're playing at the same time. And his delivery is, it's not always like, he's not like doing the voice, but he's just doing the dialogue exactly at the same pace as the movie. Like, every word is like almost exactly on where, like, usually if you were quoting a movie, you might get behind. So by the time you get to the end of the scene, you're either ahead or behind, but he's like exactly on time. It's crazy. It's so funny. Weird show. I was like, this is so good. I love it. He did the Jim Carrey scene where he's from Ace Ventura, where he's in the apartment building room, and the person said that, like, they heard, the neighbor heard the person get killed and thrown off the roof, the balcony or whatever. And he's in the, yeah, exactly. He's like, you're sure that you heard this person screaming? You sure when you came in this room that this door was closed? And he like opens the door. He's like, ah, and he closes it. Nah. Like, that door is soundproof glass. It's so good. The liar, liar scene where he's talking about the woman with like how old she is. Yeah, in your bra.
I was telling you how to, before we were talking about it, and how that was like how a lot of it, like TikTok and stuff, was TikTok or, you know, how a lot of these families and channels got huge was just people reciting other people's stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, you guys aren't doing anything. You're just, I mean, if you have a mind for it and you do a podcast and stuff like that, obviously when you do it well, it's just entertaining, but it's like, you're not doing anything. You're sampling. It's like sampling, you know,
you're just putting out, it's
already doing, genius and you're just redoing it.
And people are watching it and they're eating it up.
I know. Like, oh, these millions of views. Rich off of, you know, these girls are like selling something or they're doing whatever, and then they do a scene from something, and yeah, what are you gonna do?
Dang,
just, I'm just bitter we can't do an easier channel.
Yeah, right, every time we're like, damn it, those people, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, that's so shit. Easy. It's too easy.
They're so successful. Something's so easy.
Good.
Can't be, yeah, right. I saw there was like a meme or something on Instagram or whatever the other day after the like TikTok was basically shut down. And it was like all these influencers, you know, the day after like applying now for real jobs. And it was a clip of like a Saturday Night Live skit where I forget who the actor was, but he's like, look what I can do. And he's like walking around the living room, like doing weird flips over stuff and like pushing buttons.
That was Mad TV. That's Stewart from Mad TV.
Yeah. Stewart. Right. Exactly. Yeah, look what I can do. That's what all these like TikTok influencers had, trying to look at and get real jobs now. Look what I can do.
That is a crazy thing to shut down TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about like killing jobs.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Thousands and thousands of people. I would say hundreds of thousands of people making money.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like 50,000 people making good money.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about your job numbers, do you, or would they include, hey, we shut down TikTok and we lost 50,000 jobs?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on. There's all types of weird reasons why they want to do it, but it's, no, don't just shut it down like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up now.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, it's on like a
hiatus, you know, it's
like
thing.
Like a 1 month, whatever, you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, right? Any time the government steps in like that, I just don't ever have a good feeling about it.
Right.
Shutting down businesses, government coming in and saying, we got to shut this down. It's like, I don't know. It doesn't make me feel.
Yeah, I know, it's tough. It's like, okay, what, you know, it's half of me saying, like, what do they know that we don't know, you know? And the other half is like, what right is it of yours to like shut that down? You know, like someone came up with a thing that people love and use all the time. And its whole job is to figure out what you want and know everything about you and feed you what it thinks you want. That's what the algorithm does. Like, it's designed to make more money for its own system.
Yeah. And to try to break up things because they're from other countries like China. I mean, I kind of get it, but it's also, everyone's stealing data from us, and we get compromised constantly. Every platform has been compromised. And just because China would use it for a reason, our companies don't use it for good reasons.
Right. Yeah,
they make money, and they will sell it to any company, whether they would sell it to a Chinese company if they offered enough money. So it's like, don't shut all these small businesses down. No matter how stupid I think their content is, it's someone still making money,
right?
And running a business, and like, I can't imagine having enough, you know, that you put all your time and efforts into that, and then the government just comes down and shuts your job down.
Yeah, it's like, nope. Yeah,
it's like, come on, man. Like, it might, yeah. This government, this company may not have the best interests because it's from some other country, but
right.
Just because it's an American company doesn't mean it has our best interests at mind either.
Yeah. Right. How much money is coming into our economy because this business. This right.
I don't
business.
Necessarily think Apple or Microsoft cares about us either.
Yeah, right.
So exactly. It could be, you know, Changzong, whatever computer right. company.
Industries.
I don't think. If they're paying me to make content, then
right.
You got to figure out another way if that's what you are worried about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird time in our lives.
Yeah.
Again, that's the whole point about, who are you going to affect? Like, what's important in your life? It's like, well, you can affect the people around you, this immediate circle. And now, more and more we can affect more people, but, like, who are you really changing anyone's mind? It's only the people that know you and your legacy. But
yeah.
Well, our legacy, we've been finished that the video of the Great Divider, the mechanical axe, which is cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, before we get into that, I want to say happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Brother. Thank you. Yeah. My birthday was yesterday, the 22nd.
Yeah.
Had some people reach out and say happy birthday. Actually, I texted Clay Hayes and mentioned, because he and I have the same birthday, so I just sent him a text and said, hey, man, happy birthday. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, too, man. Great day to have a birthday. Jim Smith. Jim also from the Tradesman's Channel. He's also January 22nd. So
nice.
He sent me a message and said happy birthday, which is cool. Sent him back a message. And yeah, it was fun. Someone let the cat out of the bag at work. That was my birthday. Right. Not that I'm hiding it or anything, right. But right when I came into school in the morning, students were like, hey, Mr. Hare, happy birthday. it had already been discussed, because I share a birthday with one of our other teachers at the school. Mm. Maybe they heard or whoever. So there's, because it was two teachers' birthdays on the same day, it's like it gets out and other people were, sending me texts and stuff. But I had a lot of students tell me happy birthday. My sophomore class clapped for me, which was funny. Uh-huh. They're like, hey, I'm sorry. They're all cheering. Like, yeah, big old round of applause.
Still alive.
I was like, thank you.
I should have done the Seinfeld quote for today. The happy birthday, I think not. Remember when George is telling Jerry, you're being too funny.
Yeah.
Cut it out. So then he has that whole spiel about birthdays.
Yeah, to the Asian girl.
Just another year closer to death. Stuff like happy. That.
Who's it happy about?
Happy birthday, I think not.
Yeah, no. It was fun. I have one of my seniors also shares the same birthday, Taylor. So it's always fun. She's like, what are you doing for your birthday? We were talking about it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm working. But,
no, it was good. Yeah, it was. I went out to La Toteca.
Oh,
got some Mexican food, which is good. Heck, Kate and Sean and the boys came, so we went out and had dinner. And I got a margarita, and then I got a second margarita, it was mentioned that it was my birthday, and so our waiter was like, oh, cool, it's your birthday. All right. He's like, all right, what do you want? He's like, I'll either give you, I forget what he said, it was a dessert. He's like, you want something for free? You can either have a dessert. He's like, or another margarita. And I was like, I'll take a margarita. So I had three margaritas. And I was oh, they're so good. Oh, love it. Yeah.
They are. They're decent for what they are. You get the house margarita.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was happy hour because we went out, early-ish because Kate and Sean's kids, are younger, so... We went out and had their happy hours until 7. We were there at 5:30, so we had three happy hour margaritas for the price of two.
Yeah, great. Their margs are nice . The only flavor one I'd ever had was I think mango, and that one's pretty good.
Yeah.
Usually flavors kind of taste fake, but their mango one is very subtle.
Yeah,
and you just get it on the rocks with salt, like anything else, and it's a good one. So that's the only other flavor. I think we may have tried another one, this tastes too artificial.
Right? Yeah, you just want the just the lime and the
just a little bit of lime, and you can add. There's certain flavors you can add to a margarita that just aren't okay.
Yeah,
we do when we make them. A lot of times we'll add instead of adding more simple syrup. That's a big margarita thing. We just added juice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add cranberry juice or pomegranate juice, yeah, or if you were to have mango, stuff like that. It just work. Another sharp thing, but that mm-hmm. sweetens it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice filler. Instead of the sugar, you just add another type of...
Yeah, it'd be like a ruby red grapefruit or something.
Yeah, that'd something, nice, right, you know, exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah, something that has a little... That has just the sugar. You have the, but yeah, you hope it's the natural sugars of the thing,
yeah, yeah,
that you're
yeah.
drinking.
Yeah, I really do like margaritas. Like,
oh, me too.
They're probably my favorite mixed drink.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there are lots. I like, you know, I like Dark and Stormies. I like Moscow Mules, mm-hmm. and, you know, and obviously like Orange Crushes and stuff. They're all good. But
yeah, we had those. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
But I do like, man, margaritas. Just,
I think Moscow Mule. You mentioned them all. Margarita, yeah. Moscow Mule, and a Orange Crush are probably my three favorite cocktails.
Yeah, I've been drinking Dark and Stormy, so that's the dark rum, ginger beer, and lime.
This is another version of Moscow Mule.
Yeah, right, exactly. And just because Corinne went one of the sailboat races, the women at the helm race, so it's all the boats have a woman driver. Mm-hmm. She... We got third place, so we got a big jug of rum was the prize. And so I ended up bringing it back to my house. So it's still not gone, but we've been kind of partaking in Dark and Stormies.
Maybe we should do a special cocktail for episode 200.
Yeah, baby, in 2 weeks.
So maybe we'll have, like, winter marks. Maybe we'll get some, like, pomegranate or cranberry margaritas or something like that.
Nice. Something you'd have in winter.
Yeah.
A winter mark. I like it. Oh, yeah, man. Have a little bar set up downstairs.
We still don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know. Well, I do. Should I like the idea of doing a live. Yeah. So we can do a, you know, we could be, it could be, I guess it could be still just Thursday night, you know, if we want to do it, you know, put it out on the normal.
Yeah,
the normal Friday. So we'll just, you know, maybe we aim to
maybe
do it out
maybe
like
it should be
a,
maybe
like
it should
o'clock.
Be a weekend though, so other people can hang out.
Okay, yeah, we could do that.
Let me see. Let's see. So this week and then next week, it'll be the February.
Right. Yeah. So it's it's not next Friday, but it's the following Friday. So we would either have to meet up.
Maybe we a day later. Maybe we do it Friday night.
Friday night and then put it out Saturday morning or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, Friday night. I have work on Saturday.
Okay. All right.
So maybe it's the 31st. Maybe January 31st.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, cool. And so, yeah, if you're listening, yeah, we'll try to aim to do that. So we'll record on Friday night. What do you think? Like 8 o'clock, 8:30, something like that? We'll figure out what it is exactly.
Yeah, see if anybody wants to come over, hang out.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be cool. If we want to, and then, you know, do the live podcast, and then we can have, if we do it, like, you know, YouTube, a live stream on YouTube, then we can have people, you know, comment in and stuff. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Cool. I like it. It's crazy. 200 episodes, man. That's a long time. Was it how many weeks in a year? 52 or something like that?
It's ridiculous.
So 4 years.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It is crazy. And, you know, each week it's like, oh, what are we going to talk about? And then, you know, we might write down two or three things. And, you know, I feel like it's always like there's always something to talk about. There's always some, you know, I mean, obviously it's now we're so used to doing it that we're like, okay, we'll talk about this for, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes, and
yeah,
we'll go and talk about this. And then, you know, usually there's something that we did, you know, as mm-hmm. makers. So there's always some type of video thing happening or whatever. Remember the beginning when all the podcasts were about like videos we had already done?
I know. People were probably like, what happened to that? You guys like, were so focused. Now you guys just bullshit for
you really talked like in depth about the videos. They were great.
Good old days.
Good old days.
But now we can go back. We can talk about something this week. We finished up the Great Divider video.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool. That was a like I guess maybe like surprised at how quickly that video went. Maybe not. I don't know. It was like I wasn't exactly sure what would entail me taking apart and cleaning and putting back together that gray divider. Because I didn't really look at it thoroughly. I was like, okay, I know, like, it's only a few parts. I'll pull it apart and clean everything. And
I'll tell you, it did come apart really quick, but it came off the handle in record time.
Yeah, right.
You literally just took pliers and pulled out three pieces of the wooden wedge, and it just, like, drops off. Dabbed I was like, oh, that was great. Sometimes you're drilling and doing and loosening and jabbing it and sticking it and drill some more, and then, you know, 30 minutes later, it finally drops out. But it was, like, 2 minutes real time.
Yeah, no, I like grab it with pliers or whatever and just like pulled out the wedge.
Pulled in three chunks. It came out so smoothly, I almost thought they were like metal pieces or something. Right. You know, I thought you'd pull out a staple, you know, just there's a chunk. But it, no, it's just three pieces of wood and
It's just a little surprising because, you know, usually when you get something like that manufactured from a company that's like, you know, the whole design of that is that it's like a super heavy thing that's designed to blast apart chunks of wood. Like they really put a ton of extra like effort and force into forcing those axe handles onto the heads. Yeah. And they'll usually use like wood wedge and then like diagonal metal wedges or barrel wedges. You know, they really like go above and beyond to make sure they don't get loose. Mm-hmm. And that one had like, so maybe that, no, I guess that one had been rehung because that handle that was on it, I don't think was original. I think it was rehung. So someone rehung it at some point, put a new double bit handle on and put a wedge in. And this is the wedge that they put in wasn't very wide, you know, it didn't go down very deep. So it hung on fine for however long. And then Theo was like mentioning that he was like, I've swung too many hammers that were loose and then had hammerheads fly off as a general contractor. You know, like, he's like, once he felt that head getting loose, he was like, no, I'm not going to risk it. You know, it's like he just set it aside and then, you know, mentioned to me when I saw him, if you know, that he had it. And I think he had mentioned something to me before that. I remember him saying something like, I have this, you know, cool, like, you know, splitting axe. I want you to, if you could rehandle for me. So, and, you know, anytime anybody asks me to rehandle something, I'm just like, eat it. Like, I'm loving it. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah,
that's what I do.
Right. That's what I do. Like, they're like, oh, how much does it cost? Like, nah, man, I'll pay you because I love doing it so much. Like,
don't put that out there.
No, yeah, right.
But yeah.
No, but it's like, you know, it's.
Well, you can charge him for the handle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And usually, like, if it's something where, I don't know, if someone's asking me, like, online or something like, hey, I, you know, really like axes, I'm wondering, you know, I'll give them a price for like a head and a handle and everything, you know, like a commission price. But when a friend or like someone, like an acquaintance, it's like, oh yeah, I have this old axe that like I use occasionally, but it's got a weird broken handle, I'm like, give it to me, I'll put a new one on there for you. Like, it's more of like a pride thing. I'm like, oh yeah, let me get that back in working order for you and put a really cool handle on, so then you now have the bug. You're like,
yeah, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, if you want to throw me a six pack or something, or throw me like $20 or whatever it was for if you ask about how much was the handle or whatever.
But yeah, right.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the time, you know, if I'm like rehanging an axe for someone who's just like just a casual user, because that's like just the axe they use, and you know, it's not like sharp or clean or anything, like, okay, well, I'm not gonna put on one of my like, you know, bespoke, like super nice, you know, axe handles, you know, vintage axe handles on it. I'll put on like a standard axe handle and I'll carve it and make it nice, and you know, I'll make it like I want it to be, but you know, I'm not putting on the, you know, the $75 axe handle.
Right.
And not making it, you know, not making one from scratch. Not unless it's for, you know, like for an axe guy, like doing an exchange or something. But that was fun. So it was cool to like try it out. And that was the first time I ever used a mechanical axe. Like, I've never used one that has the levers before. I've seen plenty of them. I've seen a lot of one version, which is the chopper one. But I'd never seen that one before, which was cool. So that was fun to like pull it apart and clean it and sharpen it. And then we repainted everything and got it all, you know, back into working order and clean, pretty looking. And then did a little like decoration on the handle, which was cool too. But yeah, and then once we were done, I went out and shot just that ending footage of using the four different axes. And that was cool too, because that was like it really was an interesting, like, I had enough of basically the same size and shape rounds of wood.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To try to split up, that I was able to do like a pretty thorough, you know, the same amount of chops basically for each axe on similar types of wood and feel the difference, you know. Yeah. And like, and I mentioned to you that swinging the mechanical axe, it almost gave me like a it had the same feeling at first, that gut reaction of when an axe head is loose, you know, when you hit with it and I feel things moving, I'm like, that's not right. You know, something's loose on this. So like, yeah. I felt like, because it's so much force, so much momentum and force, that like when you hit something like that and then you have those mechanical levers that spring out, you know, when they're pushed back to pop the wood apart, it feels like it's just going to blast apart and like metal parts are going to come flying at me. Like, it was a weird feeling. Like, you hit something, it's like clink, clink, clink. Everything's like, you know, those metal levers are swinging around and clanking and clinking. It's like, oh, that's weird. So, but it worked pretty well. Like, it was cool. Like, I'm not sure if it was like I was anticipating it like popping apart, but like, you know, the two pieces of wood popped apart pretty good. Like, I'm not sure if that was just like because of how wide the angle of the actual sharpened edge was, or if it's because the mechanical levers actually pushed it apart fast. You know, it was hard to tell. So I did the mechanical axe, and then I did a splitting maul, like an 8-pound maul, which also worked pretty well. But they both had the same flaws that the splitting axe and then a normal felling axe didn't have, which was, you know, I had to hit it two or three times before it actually wanted to go in. Like, it bounced off a couple times.
Yeah.
Where both the splitting axe and the felling axe, like, they might not, it may have taken a couple times, but they weren't bouncing off. They were like sinking in, but it was just like getting it to go in fast enough. So really, like, the splitting axe was the one that I think worked the best and was the easiest for me, because it had some weight to it. It's like a 4.5-pound head. And it's just got that big, that full wedge from the edge of the blade of the axe all the way back to the pole. It's one giant wedge, you know? So at the edge, actually at the sharpened edge, it's, the bit is a narrow angle, but it's just consistently all the way back. So, you know, you get that weight and momentum behind that, and then you're just like putting a really sharp edge into wood, and you know, the faster you can swing it, and the gradual, that edge that goes up, that wedge shape is just like pops the wood apart. So,
yeah,
you know, but like, you know, if I was a, like, a working wood person, you know, like harvesting wood and cutting wood and making firewood all the time, it might be different, you know, like, maybe I wouldn't want to swing a 4.5-pound splitting axe all day long to split wood. You know, maybe you want to swing something lighter, or maybe you want to swing something heavier and you swing it less times, you know, like, it's hard to make that decision, but it was fun. It was cool.
Yeah, no, it turned out great
out there. Yeah. Were you able to use any of the shots of like the icy waterfall or whatever, or the sounds?
I haven't looked
and gotten there yet. Okay.
I was editing today while the kids were napping.
Okay.
And I got stuck. Sometimes you get stuck. Wanna, like, your plan is to get a big chunk of thing done,
right?
But I always, like I said many times, I go back and I watch what I have, or at least the last 10 minutes before what I'm going to edit up to,
right?
Just to get a feel of it, because you forget and you get blind to it, and you're editing for a long time, you don't get a feel of what's going on. So
right
before I start, I'm like, hey, if I'm going to edit for a few hours, at least I can spend the 10 or 20 minutes rewatching.
Yeah, get the flow back
to get a feel. Like, and then I've done it so many times where I've gone, oh yeah, I'm not going to put another piece of music here. There was already a music 3 minutes ago, or things need to speed up or things can slow down now. You just get a, you know, a feel.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm working on it, and it's the time lapse part where you tape it and spray paint it, mm-hmm. which I had already kind of laid out last time I edited. But I told you that for some reason the mics shut off, mm-hmm. and I was like, look, for once I'll leave in the fast sound.
Right.
Because yeah. I had just done a big music thing in slow motion of you grinding it. So I was like, we just did a music thing. Right. So I don't want to do another music thing right after it. So, and it was kind of cool. And you can hear us talking and sanding and you're doing all types of stuff. And then I get to the spray paint part and the mics shut off for some reason.
But did you get any audio of the spray painting?
No. No, I got everything to spraying, so I can't even get like.
Yeah, I was gonna say, or do like the normal, you know, the normal speed sound with the high speed over top of it.
Right. Right. No. Okay. I don't know. I'll add some drums or something. I don't know, or maybe I'll go back and look for other spray paint stuff that we have in the
catalog.
Archives. But
yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, just pull audio from something else.
Yeah.
But so that's weird because like I don't think those mics were like they didn't seem dead. Like when I plugged them in, the batteries weren't dead, but maybe it was just the cold or something.
I think it was so cold out, and maybe you had walked too far away at once and they disconnected. I don't know. But I wasn't monitoring it. I was just kind of standing there.
Yeah,
which I probably should have had my ear in, but I didn't that time. So but anyway, I was editing that, and then I was chopping it up because it was real long. Some of those, you know, you do them and it's like 45 seconds of time lapse.
Right, yeah.
And I don't need all of it. I don't need you going downstairs and you see nothing for 6 seconds and then you're coming back up. Like, I'll just chop that out. You go back in, in, out, in, out. Like, I'll show that part.
Yep.
So I chopped it all to hell to get it to to just be the, you know, like, it was like half of what was actually there. I chopped it down.
Yeah, right. And it's just shows,
so it's
like
a 20-second thing instead of a minute thing, you know?
Right, yep.
20 seconds is plenty of seeing you spray paint something.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to do kind of a push-in zoom the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out a way to make all those clips one and then... Because basically the way I do it, the manual way I do it is like you pick a frame point or whatever it is, and then you say, all right, I want it to start at 100. And then you go to the end of the clip and say, I want it to be at 150% at the end.
Right, yeah.
You're pinning two positions, and then it's slowly moving in.
Right.
And then you can also change where it's moving into if you want. But with that many different clips, you can't just do that.
Right.
So I had to go in to each one and go like 100 to 110%. The next one I had to go 110% to 100, depending on how long it was, because I wanted to keep the same speed of the pushing too. Right. So I was like guessing. This one's 110 to 118, then 118 to 21. So I was just doing that forever and then trying to put some music on it. And that's all I got done. So I didn't even continue on. I just like... was messing with what I had already done.
Oh,
and then the baby like woke up and I was like, damn it. I didn't get anything done. I mean, I did, but nothing new was done. I just was fiddling with what I already had. But it's coming. It's a cool video. It's coming along good, but it's just, you know, sometimes that happens. You work for a couple hours and you feel like, I didn't really get anywhere. You tightened things up. You made it nicer, but you didn't like. I didn't add to the runtime.
Right.
I didn't get another chunk done. That's kind of what you want to see.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're making progress. Yeah. Time wise. Yeah.
Right. Another 2 to 10 minutes is done.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you want when you sit down, and or at least that's what I want.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just coming along. It'll be a good one. And then, the footage will be cool. You're out there in, like, the frozen tundra. There's, like, the little stream behind you that's frozen. Yeah. Like you said, the icy waterfall behind you is really cool looking. You got a bunch of different shots of different ones. And I was walking around you with, like, the gimbal. And
nice. Yeah. Now that'll be cool. Yeah, I was like looking at that. I knew that that pile of wood was out there, and I was like, well, that'll be nice because it's like snowy and there's the waterfall, like the little dam waterfall behind me. And I knew it was super iced over, so I was like trying to keep it a little bit in the corner of the shot. But like for most of, you know, some of them obviously I'm pushing in and stuff to get different angles. So there's like a wide and a medium and then a close up for each thing. And then like I know it was like I did some shots where I'm like talking about each axe a little bit, you know, and I was like, I knew that as I was doing it, it was like too much, it was too long, but I just figured it was just like me talking about each one and you could like trim it down to whatever, like, and just showing other shots of it or whatever. So it would be like some audio that it could go over, you know, just like the use of it or something. But
that'd be cool.
But I thought that was kind of, it was a kind of a cool like comparison. Like, this is the first thing, this is the chopper, da da da. And then the next one was like, this is this. And I kind of talk about each one, like why, you know, I guess their benefits or whatever. And my honest review of what I like the most.
But, yeah, it's almost worth its own video.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that would be a great one day shoot to go out and take them out again and be like,
just chop it. A bunch and just talk do it about again. Them. Yeah.
And then the video would be, are these, you know, are these crap? Is this a scam? Yeah, something like that. An angle like that.
something like that, yeah. Yeah, no, it would be. I mean, you know, like, I would, if I was scrolling across, you know, like, YouTube as an axe guy, I would watch that. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, cool. You know, like, that's something that's interesting to me. You know, like, someone trying out these things. Like, that could be a whole video, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, Buck and Billy Ray does, like, three of them a month. That's just, like, him chopping wood and talking about the axe he's using, you know? It's cool, and people, you know, people love it. They eat it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I liked that video, and I liked, you know, I often had this thought, and maybe it's the, what, it's the, like, imposter syndrome, you know? It's like, is what I'm doing better? Like, should each thing be better than the last? Like, should all these skills learned, like, should we be pushing to like the videos are crazier? But that's just like unrealistic, you know? And I'm like, but then I'm like comparing our channel to other people's channels and like, but they're doing crazy stuff and they're using all these like wild tools and new technologies. But you know, then I think about channels that I also love that are like this, they're like just doing the thing they love. And it's like the passion that that I love about it. Right. And it's the character that I love. It's not necessarily it's rarely ever I'm watching a video because of the, you know, like the drama of it, you know, it's almost always because like when I want to watch something, it's because I know the person, you know, it's like, oh, that's cool. Like the content's cool, but also the person is cool. I like the person that, like, you know, I watch way more videos that I have no idea what it's about just because it's like another Adam Savage video or it's another Lara Compf or Jimmy Duresta, you know, like, I don't care. Like, put out whatever you want. I'll watch every single one.
Yeah.
You know, so I always like try to balance that battle in my mind. I'm like, do we, you know, it's like, do we do another really short shoot because it's short and we can get more content out? Or do we do like something that's going to really push the boundaries of what I can do and my skill level and like be impressive? Because like for me, you know, restoring a mechanical axe isn't super hard. You know, it's not something that I would think, you know, it's maybe not, it may be something that obviously it's something that people watch and they like, they learn from. That's the whole point. Like, hey, check this out. This is like what you could do to restore this, you know? But, you know, it's not like I'm restoring like an old, like engine or something, you know?
But it's interesting, you know? And something different. Yeah.
Right.
And the luxury of not getting a lot of views recently is, we can do whatever we want because you're not going to get any less views on it.
Right. Exactly.
If we were getting hundreds of thousands of views for you making knives still right now, then we'd have to stick to it kind of, but we can do whatever we want. So if you want to follow your nose, like we talk all the time, if it's some type of spark of inspiration, we'll do it. Let's try it.
Right.
It doesn't hurt.
Right, exactly. And I think that's, you know, that's all, that's been our mindset all along. Right. It's like, let's just do the stuff that we like to do. You know, it was like, I had that axe because Theo wanted me to restore it. And I was like, oh, that'd be a cool video. Like, restoring the axe. Because, like, yeah, I could take it off the head and put a new handle on and wire wheel everything and put it back together and give it back to him. That would be perfectly fine. But, like, because we're doing a video, then I was like, okay, well, I can clean them up and repaint it and, like, try it out and, you know, put a cool handle on it, maybe do something else with the handle. Like, just do a little bit more and then make it, like, a little more interesting. But that's, like, fun for me, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And, but also, I'm still proud of the stuff we're doing and the fact that it's a full video on YouTube. The Instagram stuff. People that only do Instagram or TikTok, it's such a... I'm not hating on it. If you can make money off of it or you can get a lot of attention off of it, do it. And good on you for doing that. But it just doesn't... None of it lasts. It's it's this, like... flippant kind of fad thing,
right?
And you're excited that you got some like that. All of a sudden, we got like 500,000 views on this thing, but you get 500 like 10-second views,
right?
That mean nothing to that person,
right?
So I don't know. That doesn't interest me. I mean, it's a great way to. I mean, if we could make money that way, it would interest me. But
right,
it's just not. Interesting to leave videos that last like we said like an evergreen video,
right? Yep.
Something that will just go on, and it can be, now we're 7 or 8 years old, the channel, and if we're still up in 10 years, it can still be a video that's useful and interesting to people. That's what,
right?
We put a lot of work into it, so let's make sure it lasts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, I think, like, I mean, I tell people all the time when they're, and they ask me about, like, the channel and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, I think the good thing that we had from the beginning is that we weren't trying to be like, hey, let's start a YouTube channel to make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, hey, let's start a YouTube channel because it will be interesting and kind of fun. And, like, there's a chance that we could make some money. Like, oh, cool. All right. You know, it's like other people are doing what they're doing and they're making some money. So, like, hey, maybe we'll try it out. We'll hang out in the shop, drink some beers, make some cool stuff. And
to be transparent, it has made a little bit of money.
Yeah, right.
It's not nearly enough for any of us to quit our jobs.
Right.
But it constantly makes a little bit of money, and probably more money than if we had, like, a little stand that we sold goods at, like, you know, markets and stuff.
Right.
We'd probably be very happy if one of those stands made us this much a month. So it is still, it's fine.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
It makes a little bit. And I'm happy with that. It makes probably more than, if we had a little side hustle hobby thing, it probably makes more than what that would make.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, there's more of a chance for it to make us a lot more money than a small side hustle.
Right, when someone hits a video and it, all of a sudden you get 5 million views, and then the next month you get like $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 check. That's
right, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, like you're not going to hit like that at a you know a farmer's market. Yeah, but it, like, and I think Chris Zepp said it in some interview. He's Chris is Make Everything on YouTube, and he said, like, you know, making YouTube content is like playing the lottery. Because, like, except for your chances of winning the lottery are a lot higher, you know, like, than if you just play the lottery, you know, because every one of those videos you put out could be the lottery ticket that, like, just hits. And all of a sudden, like, you get millions of views, and then those millions of views turn into dollars, and, you know, it's like, it's true. Yeah. There's more chance there. You know, and he was pretty transparent about his earnings this year. He posted a video that was about, like, what he made on Instagram and YouTube Shorts, on short form content, compared to what he made in his long content on YouTube. Yeah. And it was like way, way more money. It, you know, the ratio was like way more in long form content, you know? So, but Chris has also been on YouTube for longer, and he has, you know, he has good numbers and subscribers, and he has people to watch, right? So he's making content that way. But you know, that's, but also YouTube is not his main source of income. It's like, it is a side hustle for him. He is a, you know, he has a full time job and whatnot. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's, I think it's like anything, you know, you hope that you can do stuff because you love doing it, right? You know, and that you're like happy with that. You know, and of course, like as soon as it becomes something that you have to do, or you won't be able to survive, and it becomes less fun, you know. But
yeah, yeah.
So hopefully, you know, it's like, and the one thing I can say, that the fact that it never did so well for us that it became our like full-time jobs, is that like, if, you know, if whatever, now AI is around, if AI starts making videos and YouTube doesn't even do content creation anymore because they can make whatever they want with AI, you know, it's like, right. Who knows? Like, it's such a on the grand scale, it's such a niche thing, YouTube. You know, it's only been here for 12, 13 years, whatever, 14 years, but who knows? You know, people who are, you know, have a career out of it, it might just stop tomorrow. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, there's not like the same type of insurance in something like a normal, you know, 9-to-5 job. Right. So,
yeah. Like, some Chinese or Iranian company might buy it, and then the government shuts it down.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, then what do you do? Like, oh shit.
Sure. So we're blessed not to make enough money to count on YouTube.
We make enough money that it's fun.
There you go, suckers. All you people making a bunch of money.
Uh-huh.
Must yes. be not. Look who's laughing now.
Look who's laughing. Not quite yet.
No, you give it time.
Eventually. Yeah, give it time.
We didn't make anything.
You know, I think, like, fortunately for most people who are, you know, who do have that full time, like, to make that decision to go full time into YouTube, into content creation, you have to then make the decision to also split your buckets up into like what your income is, right? Because it's like, you understand, everyone understands, like, this could go anytime. We don't know. There's no history. There's no data to tell us how long this will last. So it's like, most of them are online sales and obviously sponsorships, and then doing other stuff and commercials and, you know, and real estate, and like they're really starting to like use that income and like spread out their pool of income, you know, so that way they're not relying on just the one thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's you know, I think it's still fun. You know, that's what I like about it. People are like, it's like, you just get to hang out in the shop and make cool stuff and
shoot the shit. I still enjoy shooting and hanging out, and then I still enjoy finishing a video and putting it out there and like being happy with it, like, oh, this worked out. I'm watching it. Oh, it's good. And
it's fun. Yeah, I like how you mentioned too, like, you know, you're like proud to put something out there that you tell people about. Be like, you know, we go to events and you're like, I have a YouTube channel, and people are like, oh shit, you guys have, you know, almost 200,000 subscribers. That's crazy. That's huge. Like, man, that's pretty good. You know, and they're like, right. And we're proud to say, like, we put out there, it's good content that we really do like. And, you know, we can.
Yeah, you don't have to be like, yeah, you know, we do some weird stuff. And we do. It's like, no, yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
We'd love for you to watch it.
Yeah, I had.
Watch any of those videos. Go back. Like,
we're
pretty proud of them.
Yeah. I had a guy come by the school today to donate a 3D printer that he was using. He actually works for Melissa and Doug. The company Melissa and Doug.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And he's like a product designer.
Do they have a nearby place?
Melissa and Doug? I think everyone in the company works remotely, basically.
Oh, I see.
You know, all the designers and stuff, all the people who are making the stuff, and then it's getting made wherever, you know, in the world, China or whatever. But he's basically an engineer and designer, and he was living in Baltimore for a while, but now he's moving up to New York, and where he's moving to New York is going to be like a smaller place. So he had to kind of downsize, and he has a Bamboo Labs 3D printer that he's taking with him. But then he also had this Prusa 3D printer, which he was like, he came and he dropped it off, and then he like hung out with me for like an hour and a half, like talking all about it and give me like all the tips and tricks, you know, like try this, do this, this. So like, and you could tell that he's like a person, like it's been taken care of really well. Like, you know, he's like meticulous about everything. So
yeah,
it's a, you know, it should be good. But I was mentioning to him, like, cause we were kind of talking about different stuff and talking about how I got into it and teaching architecture, but I'm not an architect, you know, and saying how, like, the whole point of that was that I was an artist, but I was also a maker, you know, and those two things going together, like someone who thinks 3D, but also is a artistic minded, you know, that is what falls into architecture, you know, using the artistic designer side to make things that are, you know, our design. And then I told him about the channel and he was like, whoa, that's crazy. So he was talking about how cool that was. I was like, yeah, thanks, man. Check it out. You know, he's like, oh, it looks awesome. I love it. I'll check
we'll,
it out.
We'll collab so, with Melissa and yeah. Greg.
Melissa and Doug. And yeah, Doug. I was right. Like, that's crazy. And he said, like, you know, like the company, Melissa and Doug, it like the owners are Melissa and Doug. Nice. You know, like, he said he like texts them every day, you know, like he's just one of their main designers. That's cool. You know, he's like in his 30s or something, young guy.
Nice, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if it was real, but which Cura? Or no, who was it? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was Cura, but somebody reached out and I responded. I was trying to get a 3D printer.
Yeah.
But there's an Altamaker
or.
Yes, yeah, so I don't know which one it was, but I was trying to get one.
Yeah, he mentioned to me that he has a Form Labs SLA printer, which is like the, you know, the one that comes up out of the resin bath upside down. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's good for some things, but like, he's like, for what you guys do here in the classroom, it would just be like unnecessary because it would take up way more room because you have to have like the printer and then you have the cleaning station and you have the like the hardening station and then you have to have a bunch of areas for, you know, prep work. He's like, you just need too much. It just takes up too much room when you can have a PLA, you know, 3D printer that is self-contained in one spot. Everything it needs is right there. You know, you store the filament somewhere in your room, but other than that, there's no like, once it's done, it's done. You take it off the bed and that's it. You know, you can do post work on it, like sanding and stuff like that, but that's all. It's your, you know, it's your options.
Right.
So, but, yeah, cause I actually was talking to my uncle-in-law Howard, and he was saying that, he's working with Form Labs cause he's an engineer, but he's a salesman for an engineer company. So he sells like parts, bits and pieces to different companies for whatever, you know, like all their little engineering parts. And so he's been working with Form Labs as one of his clients. And so he was like, you know, if you guys want Form Labs printers for your lab, let me know and I'll put you in contact and I'm sure there's like some type of good deal, educational deal or something, you know. But I knew I had the thought, I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool, but I was like, I don't really know if I want to have to do like that whole resin bath stuff in like a classroom, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
there's the smells too. It's
So,
man, I want to upgrade from my Ender 3. I need something faster.
Yeah.
But I don't want to spend the $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bamboo Labs, they're like $1,000.
I know.
I mean, it's still a lot, but it's not, you know, but you know, we got with the spool top, I think it was like $1,200 and that was like the extra package. And it's so fast, like crazy, like so much faster than
you get a new one from the other place. And then just happen to have a few of those.
Well, I did mention to him, I was like, cause I've written a grant for three more Bamboo Labs, X1 carbons. So I was like, if I get this other grant and if I get the other, like the other printers and we're getting a whole like shelf form and everything, if it all comes through and I get it all, then I was like, I may not have room for this. I was like, you know, do you want me to reach out to you if I'm going to donate it or, you know, before I give it away or before I like give it to a student or something, you know? But he was like, nah, man, he's like, you know, do what you want. You don't feel like, he's like, I want to give it to you because I think it would be cool and it would work well here. But like, you know, if you guys are going to use it or someone you think can use it, then go ahead and like do what you want with it. I'm not saying that I'm going to take it and bring it home because I wouldn't feel right about that. But I'm just saying that like he was very like kind to just give it because he knew he couldn't. He like didn't want to just throw it away and he wanted to like basically give it to someone who thought would, you know, be able to use it. And so,
yeah.
But it is like, you know, I think he said that one was like when he bought it, which is probably 6 or 7 years ago, you could buy the DIY kit or the pre-made. And it was like, I think he said it was like $700 or something for the the DIY kit, which he got, and said he got the pre-made. The pre-made was like $1,000 or something. Yeah. So,
yeah, I just want a self-leveling. I want a bigger bed, and I want faster speed.
Right.
So the Ender 3 is nice, but it is like baseline, you know, and I have to self-level, which is a real bitch.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I just want something that's a little bit faster. There's a lot of bigger stuff, too. I want to print out and try stuff, and it's great with having kids.
Yeah.
I can make toys, and I can make buildings, and, like, we play with, I made a bunch of these little miniature buildings.
Nice.
Maeve loves them, and we, like, you know, we play with them, make little villages. Like, I want to be able to do more of that, but it just takes so damn long on this thing.
Right.
It's like a 15-hour thing, and you gotta be like around, and I want something that takes, you know, four, you know, a lot of these new machines will do it in 4 hours, and it's just, it's, that's, anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, it's one of those, like, some, I mean, I'm sure, I don't, I'm not sure, but, you know, like.
I reached out to the one, I think I reached out to Bamboo a couple times and never got back, so.
Okay, yeah.
They either must not care or must not be in a zone where they're, because a lot of, a lot of 3D, they give away stuff all the time, so we figure out somebody to hook us up with one or two. That'd be great.
I forget who was, I think there were people trying to send us, like, lasers and stuff before. Obviously, we got the laser pecker, but.
Someone tried to send something else, and we're like, that and a 3D printer?
That'd be nice. Yeah, it's like, I don't know if I can, like, I don't have any room for all that. You know, it's like, you know, I got to find the room in the shop for that, but, yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Cool. Well, I think that's good. I do think that I will put out some information about about our 200th episode.
We'll dial that in by next week.
Yeah, and then we'll just throw up, make sure I put some stuff out on Instagram, put out some stuff on YouTube to make sure people are aware of it, and, you know, so people can pop in and say hey, and maybe we'll give some stuff away. I do like I don't know if we've talked about it on here, but the whole, like, toolbox thing, you know, so maybe, maybe we do a, I don't know, maybe we'll do something during that video or, like, talk about it, or, you know, maybe people who are there and they comment, or I don't know, like, if people, like, super chat or something, you know, they get entered, but we can't tell that because we don't want to, like, pander, you know, like, oh, give us money and you can be entered into the winning. You know, it's more like I'd rather do the video and then have a comment competition or something and give it away, or, you know.
Maybe just give away, you hang an axe and give it away.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but, you know, I like that idea, and I like, you know, because during the, obviously, the 100th YouTube video, or what is that? Was that we did the 100 episode?
Yeah,
we did a live stream.
Yeah,
for 100. You know, but so this will be a little bit different because we'll be recording a podcast while we're live streaming.
Right.
But that'll be fun. So we'll figure something out. And yeah, I was just thinking, like, it'd be cool if we would have had that plan, you know, to give the box away or something during that time period. But
yeah.
Maybe we do.
Yeah.
We have to shoot that video in the next 2 weeks, but I think that would be okay.
Sure. We'll
figure that out. Cool. All right. What do you have for recommendation, Dev?
I've been watching. Have you ever heard of the podcast Are You Garbage?
No.
It's a comedy podcast. And, I mean, they have a lot of huge names on it now. They're really successful. You know, all the biggest comedians and other podcasters, they've all been on it. Two really funny guys, and it's a normal podcast, but then they go through a list of are you garbage questions. And it's stuff like, you know, anyone that's been run over? I'm trying to find some, like, that I've heard, like, have you ever owned a pair of pants that can convert to shorts? What else? Has anyone in your family ever skied in jeans? Ever drink milk with dinner growing up? Ever been asked to put out a cigarette by a cop?
Sorry, we put that out.
Did you collect anything growing up, like Chinese stars or nunchucks? like it's all that type of stuff, but it's funny because a lot of stuff we've all had. So they go into like, yeah, I did this, and my parents had this, and you know, are you ever in the back of a car with no seatbelts, or you know, have you ever, you know, that type of stuff?
It's right,
ridden in the back of a truck. But are you garbage? And then they give you like a rating at the end. It's just for fun, but it's like it's really funny, and it's usually comedians on there, so it's.
Nice.
Extra good.
Nice. Right on. Are you garbage?
Yeah. There was one they were arguing about. It was Stavros, which is the Baltimore. Have you seen him? He's a comedian. He's from Baltimore, so he always gets shouted out. And we actually had him a bunch of times at the Ravens. He was like pumping the crowd up.
Right. Yeah.
Because he like, you know, from Baltimore, lived in Greek town, like super Baltimore guy. Big rate, right? He does all the Ravens things and the O's things. But he was on there, and they were talking about like putting ketchup on potatoes, and they had a big argument. Like, no, you don't put ketchup on potatoes, and it depends what it is, and maybe you're. I think Stavros said the point. He's like, if someone offers you ketchup with your potatoes, it's garbage. Like, if you're at a place that would offer you ketchup. with any type of potato, it's kind of a trashy thing, you know. But it's funny stuff like that. It's so if you're looking for a funny another comedy podcast, are you garbage?
Nice, right on, cool. So I was mentioning earlier, that silly Instagram channel with like the two dudes, but like I was gonna say. I'll try to find the name of it and put it up. It was funny because, you know, it'll go from this like very intellectual conversation about something, you know, they'll be talking about whatever. And then the next, like you'll scroll to the next one and it's just him doing a monologue, you know, from like whatever, Dumb and Dumber, you know, talking about like moving to Aspen or whatever, you know, like, it's just so funny. I'll try to find that. But the other, what was the other thing I was looking at? Oh, I also, completely unrelated. I was listening to a podcast and it's called Sail Faster. So those of you who like my sailing content, when I talk about it on the podcast, it's a really good podcast cause it's, for like the other one I listened to, which is called On the Wind, is like very much about like blue water sailing. So like people who are cruising across the oceans and stuff going like in these long trips, but, Sail Faster is like round the buoy racing sailing. So if you're into that, which is what I do, it's an interesting podcast, and they're actually out of Annapolis, the guy who runs it. So he sails down there on a J-105. But I was just listening to one, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but I'll put a link in it. But it's just, this guy who's just an experienced, racer like that. And just talking about, he's just going through strategies of different things and what it is and his thoughts and ideas about racing and, you know, how to be faster and stuff. And it's just a really interesting podcast. And then like for me, who's obviously super into sailing, and I was listening to it with Corinne in the car a little bit. And so she and I were both like just excited and talking about it and listening to it in the off season. It gets me excited about wanting to start sailing again, but, we'll have a while for that. I'm actually, this year I'm one of the race, I'm on the race committee this year. So for North Point Sailing Association, I'm the, I forget what it's called, race officer. So I'll be,
more racing or less?
No, same amount of racing. I just have like more responsibilities during the race. It's like usually race officer is the one who makes a final decision on what the course will be for the day, you know? So I'll be like paying attention to the wind, the direction and stuff before the races, and then kind of work with, you know, the committee chair and whatnot. And we'll come up with, the races for the day. And then probably like if there's ever any disputes over, you know, like a rule that wasn't followed or somebody's like protest because something didn't happen, like I might, would be the one who would hear both sides and give them, you know. So it's just like a, like as our race, as the the club has to have all these different people who help to run the club. I volunteered this year to be one of those people. Drew's done it. Our brother Drew's done it. He's done it in the past, for a couple of years. So, each year they're always like, they always are joking that one of somebody from our boat should be Commodore, you know, and none of us were all like, yeah, we've been around for a long time. We're all young and it'd probably be good, but we all also have families and young, like all these old dudes are all like retired and they're sailing.
Right,
and we're all young. Yeah. Like we all have, we don't have spare time to like be the Commodore of the race club, you know? So, but I was like, okay, well I'll just volunteer to be race committee chair because I saw Drew do it for a couple of years and it doesn't take a ton of extra time and effort. So, but yeah, you're speaking to the new race committee chairman or the race officer for North Point Sailing Association.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hello.
King of the castle.
Yeah, right.
You're like back when we had in my 20s, big group of friends, we had our even-keeled friend. We called him president. And when we were like arguing over something, it was usually like in some type of game, right? You're playing like beer pong or arguing about some rule in some game you're playing, we would like go to him and be like, president?
Was that Bill?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
President? And he would just make a decree. Make a judgment. And we'd be like, right. Whatever it is, it was just known. Like, whatever he says goes. And the argument's over.
Because you knew that he was like, whatever decision he made, right, was the right decision because he's seeing both sides equally.
Right. Or at least he was like, he had, you know, he was the calmest.
Yeah, right.
So he would kind of make an informed president. All right.
Someone's got to make the decision.
Like, okay, like, you know, you just have two people, like drunk people, like arguing about one silly thing.
Right.
And say, all right, let's just do president because we can't decide.
That's great. And you know, like, you know that it, I guess someone stays president because they are reliable to make that decision and not always favor one or the other side.
Right. Yeah. They, you know, like they like think about it. It's like the Newman thing in Seinfeld. Like,
yeah.
We need to go to him and he will decide. You are wise.
Newman, you are wise. Great. That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to try to get somebody on as a guest next week, I think. And then, you know, obviously the following week will be 200. So we'll do a live stream for that. I have a couple people who I talked to at, you know, Maker Camp and whatnot who are interested in joining. So try to get somebody on. I'm not exactly sure who yet, but I'll reach out. And yeah. And then we'll hit 200 and then we'll keep on going from there and get everybody else on who we want to have on the podcast because it's been fun. Yeah. So let us know what you think about the new video. That'll be coming out soon when Devin finishes that. Shouldn't be too much longer because I know you're kind of.
I'd like to push. I'm going to try to push for it on Sunday.
Okay.
See how much I can get done tomorrow. That'll be right the on. Key.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. And then, so then we'll see where we go from there. I haven't really thought too much. There's a couple like cool blacksmithing things that I've been thinking about making, but, they're kind of small. So I don't know. Maybe we'll like do that as like a little quick thing, but then also,
the toolbox, maybe do that.
Yeah. Right. The toolbox video. Right. Right. And I have been, I have that knife that I made. That's like the rhombic Pucco style knife made out of a file. So I think that turned out really nice. Again, it's kind of simple, but it's like, it's a clean design. And I think it would be kind of fun to make that and make the pocket sheath that it goes into like in one video. So like making this like, you know, pocket EDC fancy all steel Pucco. So that, cool. I think that would be a cool video. And, yeah, so we got some cool stuff coming out. So keep your eyes out for what we have over there on YouTube, and then you can also see what's going on. We'll put all nice and easy content up on Instagram that doesn't get us flagged and banned, so you can be sure not to see anything with any sharp edges. And you can follow Devin and I over there at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And if you want to support the channel, head over to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship and support us there. I do, I have a plan to do a Patreon giveaway to some of the patrons, to, you know, our Patreon followers. So keep your eyes and ears out for that. If you are a Patreon member, patron of ours, I'm going to be doing a like a group giveaway, I think, for all of our patrons. So we don't have a ton. Cool. So it's great. I can give away something to everybody. So
there we go.
Cool. All right, everybody. Thank you guys for hanging out. Devin, always a pleasure, man.
Yeah.
Everybody else, we will talk to you next time.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.